Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to see all of you again this morning. I'm happy to be here on your conference missions month that you're doing, and happy to give an update on the Four Seas Conference. If you don't recognize me, if you haven't, or if you've forgotten, I'm the North Central Regional Pastor for the Four Seas Conference. I pastored here for 9 years. Amazingly, started here in 2010. Can you imagine where the time goes? Now with the Four Seas Conference, just a quick update. Some of the things going on in the Four Seas Conference missions-wise, if you've been aware that the Four Seas Conference has had an outreach ministry to the Micronesian churches, and we used to send people out there to Micronesia, these islands in the South Pacific, and did some Bible classes with them, tried to do some training with pastors. And during COVID, they basically shut the island nation down for over 2 years. And so the conference was no longer able to send people out there. And in the meantime, though, we have discovered that there are about 25 to 30 Micronesian communities in the United States, and they have formed into churches. And many of them are interested in coming and joining the Four Seas and being a part of our conference. They are currently part of United Church of Christ Ponape, which is one of the states there in Micronesia. And they're not being served very well, and they're getting pretty crabby with that situation. So some of them would like to join us. 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to be in Kansas City, Missouri. So if that congregation wants to join the Four Seas, would add another state to my region, so I'd be up to 11 states. And but we have a number of them that we are doing training, not only for their pastors, but also for just the church and how to be an organized church. And there's a lot of cultural things, and I was not aware of the cultural differences. And when we're talking about missions, that is such a huge situation to try to understand the culture that you are ministering in, because just because they happen to be here in America doesn't mean that they think like us and they act like us. So there's a lot of work to do. So please pray about the Four Seas Conference working with the Micronesian churches. And it's going to be a lot of work for the conference if they come in. One of the cultural things that is interesting, that's kind of hard for us, is that they don't think about future very, very much. We're all in today and maybe tomorrow. And if they want to have an event, like a big gathering, a potluck, a church social or whatever, they will plan it the day before. And they'll get everybody's input on it the day before. And then the event is tomorrow. And that's just the way they roll. Well, for us, we get things on the calendar a long time in advance, and we think that's normal. And they're like, "What are you talking about next June? What is that?" So just those kind of cultural things are very interesting. So you can pray about that. The regional pastor ministry is working now throughout the country. We are doing church board training programs for church boards and congregations. We're doing biblical peacemaking to help churches that are in conflict or about to be in conflict to resolve it biblically so they could be at peace with one another. We do a seminar on developing a culture of believing prayer and intercession, because all of this is a spiritual endeavor, and we have to connect spiritually with the one who is the head of the church, Jesus, which we were just saying about. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about this morning as we look at a couple passages of scripture. As you know, currently I have 89 churches in 10 upper Midwest states that I work with and minister in, and I have seen all kinds of churches in various conditions, from healthy to unhealthy. Recently, as ministering in a church in another state, and I've been doing a lot of work with that church, they are in a restart situation because they have been unhealthy for decades. And they got to the point where we either have to close the door or we have to do something radically different, and we have to change what we're doing or we're going to close. And they've been around for over 100 years, like a lot of the Four Seas churches have. And due to the dwindling numbers, it was extremely difficult for them to support financially their missionaries. And so I'm an advisor on their church board, and they had to make the very difficult decision to notify their missionaries that they've been supporting financially for over 20 years, that no more support would be coming their way. And that was a hard decision for them to make. See, they had to reallocate resources, and that's one of the things of an unhealthy church that's coming to the end of their life cycle. They have to reallocate resources. So we have to take money that we would use for this thing and use it for that thing. And so they had to stop supporting their missionaries so that they could pay the utility bills and do the maintenance on the church and to pay this restart pastor a little bit of a salary so he can support his family. They just didn't have the income or the people to continue supporting their missionaries. And so their missionaries were cut off. And that's a very sad decision that was forced upon them by reality. And the reality was and is that they've been an unhealthy church for 25 or 30 years, and it just dwindled, dwindled, dwindled. There's more than one church in this region that is like that. We've got a couple that I could not say in the next 3 years they'll still be operating at all. They might be closing their doors, and that's a heartbreaking thing for me to think about and for the community as well. And so the question we asked this morning, can churches avoid ever having to make that difficult choice? Is there something we can do in a church so that we never have to come to the place where we say, can we support our missionaries any longer? We don't have the money. What are we going to do? And the answer is yes, there is something churches can do so they never have to make that choice. And what they can do is make a volitional decision that we are going to be a healthy church on mission. A healthy church on mission. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, we've got an interesting situation in the early church. And the early church had a very difficult thing to deal with. The early church was dealing with a bunch of new churches coming in. Problem is, the people that are coming in to be a part of the church, the body of Christ, they're not like us. We're Jews, and we came out of the Jewish stock. We've been doing this religion thing for 1735 years. And now these Gentiles are coming in from all over. The Apostle Paul's out there, he's planting churches. Those churches are growing up, they're planting churches. We got all of these Gentiles. What do we do with them? And one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, he was a believer from the sect of the Pharisees, said, you know what we need to do? We need to make them get circumcised and follow the law of Moses. They need to be just like us. And so Acts chapter 15 records that they had this great meeting to try to figure out what they were going to do. How are we going to deal with these new Christians? Well, everybody here this morning is very aware that churches have a tendency to drift away from the mission that Jesus gave to us. As the years pass, we drift. There's pastoral changes, there's aging and changing congregations, aging and changing communities, church conflicts, church splits, loss of ministry focus, cultural pressures that we're dealing with today, and all those kinds of realities contribute to churches plateauing, getting onto the backside of their life cycle, and then going down to where it implodes and they die. They have to close the church. We read of the fate of the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Those were great churches in their day, perhaps with thousands of people attending. The seven churches. What happened to them? I'm asking. What happened to them? Now, that was Ephesus. They all closed. They closed. Why? They drifted and they became unhealthy. We don't have to read very far in Scripture to see the impacts on these churches. And we see in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he's planting churches, and those churches are planting churches. And then he spends a lot of time in his subsequent ministry endeavors, as you read in the rest of the book of Acts, where he goes to visit all of these churches to strengthen them. Actually, he started that earlier than this council meeting in Acts 15, but when they got together, they decided what they were going to do with these churches in Acts 15, beginning in verse 30. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together to deliver the letter, and when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles in Jerusalem to report how that they were doing. However, it seemed good for Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" And we will see this idea that Paul and the apostles were going back to the churches to strengthen them. To strengthen the churches. Even before this meeting in Acts 14, 21, we read that they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. This is where they stoned Paul and left him for dead. And the apostles came, or the brethren came, and they picked him up, and then he goes back there later on to strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." We read in Acts 15:40, after the contention and the battle over John Mark being on the ministry team, Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, why do churches need to be strengthened? Because we drift. We drift away. It's just the way of it. In Acts 16, 5, Paul has gone to the city of Derbe and Lystra. They met Timothy there, and they went to the churches all around that area with a directive from the council to these Gentile churches. And it says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in their numbers daily. Strengthened in faith and increased in their numbers daily. Why do they need to be strengthened in faith? Because we drift. We drift over time. Acts 18, 23, Paul left Corinth for Ephesus to Caesarea to Antioch. And after he had spent time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all of the disciples. Why did all of the disciples need to be strengthened? I've given you the answer a couple of times already. Because we drift. We drift. In Acts chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, after the uproar in Ephesus, over the craftsmen making idols to Diana, and after the uproar had ceased, Paul and the disciples called the disciples to himself. He embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. And now, when he had gone over to that region, he encouraged and strengthened them with many words before he left for Greece. But it's just more than the book of Acts. We see the same thing in Peter's epistles, written to various pilgrims of the dispersion, seeking to strengthen the churches to focus once again on this great salvation versus the difficulties that they were having. Folks, one of the reasons we drift is we focus on what's going on now, how things are now. And we lose sight of this great salvation that we have in Christ. They were focused on the difficulties they were experiencing. Peter tells them, focus on Christ, focus on the salvation, make sure your behavior is holy, that the scripture is the eternal standard for all of life. Focus on those things, and the church will be strong, the church will be healthy, and the church will grow. In the missions context, healthy churches are able to support a lot of missionaries. Healthy churches grow up little boys and girls to be young men and young women to become missionaries. That's what happens in a healthy church. We read the same thing of struggling churches in the book of Titus and James and Hebrews and Jude And actually, throughout the whole text of Scripture, over time, we read that the people of God struggle and they drift with an abiding faith and trust in God. The faith diminishes, the trust in God, well, we're going to do our own thing. They struggle holding to sound doctrine, a behavior that matches their stated faith, and focusing on God's mission for his people. We sing a song, you sing a song in this church, we sang it many times over the years, written in 1758 by Pastor Robert Robertson, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Remember that song? It's a great song, one of the great hymns. There's a line in that, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Kind of hurts, doesn't it? When I sing that song, it hurts my heart. But yeah, that's me. Prone to wander. I feel it. And so we all feel it. And we all gather together in a group we call the church. And because we're all prone to wander, the church is also prone to wander. So the Lord gave to his people prophets and pastors and teachers to regather and refocus and to strengthen the church to focus on Jesus and his mission, to be on mission. And that's part of what the Four Seas Conference is all about. The third of our conference seven guiding values is healthy churches. We are seeking to help churches be healthy so that they will grow naturally all by themselves, so that they will have the resources to support many missionaries, so that our little sons and daughters that grow up in this church would sense the call of God as they grow up to become a missionary themselves, and we can support them in mission work all over the country. Healthy churches have a specific and unified belief. And I may have shared this with you last time I was here last August, but this is something I teach in the church board training program, that we have to understand that the mission, the church does not have a mission. The church does not have a mission. The reality is the mission has a church. It's the Lord's mission. Because, well, Jesus is the Lord. And he said, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age." That's the mission. The mission has a church. The mission has a church. So what we have to decide is, are we going to be a church on the Lord's mission? Which is a good thing, because Jesus said, "I will build my church." So he's only going to build a church that's on his mission. Are we going to be a church on his mission, or are we not going to? Are we going to be on our own mission, doing our own thing? A lot of churches, that's what they're doing. They're on their own mission. And when the mission is, we just exist, and we're just trying to keep the doors open. That's not a church that is long for operating continually. They're not on the Lord's mission. And why would the Lord build a church that is not on his mission? So a healthy church is on the Lord's mission, an unhealthy church is on their own mission. And we just have to decide. Jesus said, "I will build my church." So he's the owner. He's the builder. Shared this with you a number of times. And we have to understand, if we want to send out missionaries, if we want to grow missionaries from our own body, we need to be a healthy church. One of the most significant events in my life was before I ever went to seminary. I didn't even know I was going to seminary. I was just a regular person in a church doing some ministry, working for the state health department in California. As a hazardous material specialist. And every single day at lunchtime, I would go out to the K Street Mall in Sacramento. It's a walking mall, and all the state employees, you know, flow out of the buildings at lunchtime, and there's places to eat and sit outside and all of that. Every day I would go out and I would share Christ with a Jehovah's Witness. I was kind of interested in them. And so they're holding their little Awake magazine on the corner, so you know who they are. And I'd walk up. So every day for 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, I would share the gospel with this person. And it's like, ooh, I got to be back to work in 15 minutes, sit down on a bench and, you know, gobble down my sandwich and go back. Well, on this particular day, I'm sitting there. I'm just watching people after I've shared the gospel with this guy for 40 minutes. And I'm just watching people eating my bologna sandwich, whatever. And I notice these two young Asian women walking and they're kind of staring at me. And I'm kind of watching them thinking, what in the world is this? And they kind of get close to me and they're right in front of me. And I'm kind of trying to be, you know, unnoticeable. And they're looking, staring at me. And they stopped and they came and they sat down on either side of me on this bench. And I'm thinking, A, these are beautiful young women. B, this would never happen to me. What in the world is going on? They start telling me about Jesus. I'm like, whoa, really? Well, I told them, I'm a believer. I've put my faith and trust in Jesus. And I said, where are you from? And they said, we are from Seoul, South Korea. We are missionaries sent to Sacramento, California. I'm like, wow, this is really kind of something I would have never expected. And they're telling me about Jesus. And I said, oh yeah, I'm a believer. I go to such and such a church. And they're like, why are you sitting here? Don't you see these people? They're going to hell. And you're sitting here eating a sandwich. Well, I was just talking to this guy over here. I was sharing the gospel with him over there for 40 minutes. Now I'm eating my sandwich. I got to go back to work. You can eat anytime. And it's like, man, that was hard. But I started thinking at that point, what kind of a church would send missionaries from Seoul, South Korea to Sacramento, California? What are they doing there? Well, it turns out that they are a church on mission. The mission has a church. And they decided they were going to be that church. And they were going to carry out the Great Commission all over the world. They're in Sacramento, California in 1988. Isn't that amazing? And I never forgot that. It just keeps rolling around in my head. One of the great eternal values of a healthy church is that it is growing all by itself. Jesus is building it, and the church is able to generously support its missionaries to the full extent of their need, and maybe a variety of them. People who are making disciples and leading people to faith in Jesus Christ, which is his mission, of course, and missionaries are being grown up within the congregation. That is a healthy church. And there's three things the conference has really focused on, and what I'm focused on in going to these churches all throughout the region is the conference irreducible core. Love God, love others, make disciples. That is the foundation of a healthy church. To love God, love others, and make disciples. When I was here with you last August, we talked about loving God. How do we do that? And we were looking at John 14. In verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my words. In verse 22, if you love me, keep my words, and my Father will love you. In verse 23, if you love me, keep my words, and I will reveal myself to you. And then he says in verse 24, the ones who do not love me do not keep my words. And I ask the question, would Jesus bring anyone to a church that doesn't love him? No. Why would he do that? That makes no sense. So we have to be about the business where we believe that Jesus is Lord. And you're going to proclaim that in a few minutes at communion, as long whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Anyone remember that sermon? My first sermon here. The first Sunday of June 2010, and all the the Great Plains Four Seas pastors were here. We had communion. I did that sermon. What do you proclaim? You proclaim Jesus is Lord in communion. That's what you're saying when you take it. Jesus is Lord. Is he? Do we say, I will do what Jesus says. I will follow the word of God without regard to how I feel about it. Or if it's within my cultural context or heritage context, what Jesus says is true and I will do it. If I think it's wrong, then I'm wrong. He's God and he's never lied and never deceived. So we have to make sure that we are loving God by following his word in scripture. Love God, love others. I have a sermon on this. How do we love one another? John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And we go, yeah, that's great. We know that verse. Read it 1,000 times. And I challenge folks when I give that sermon. We're to love one another exactly the way Jesus has loved me. So how many of you have ever got out a sheet of paper and wrote down at the top, this is how Jesus has loved me? Make a list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is how I'm to treat others in the church. Has anyone made a list like that? That's the same answer I get in every church. Literally every church. How can we love one another as Jesus has loved me if I haven't even thought about it enough to make a list so I know how to treat people? If everyone in the Christian church loved one another exactly the way Jesus has loved them, do you think churches would be full? 3 or 4 times on Sunday morning, Saturday night, Wednesday night service, because they are dying to find love out there. They can't find it. Sometimes they come in the church and there's fights and bickering and conflict that's been going on a long time. And they're like, don't need that. I get that out there. Loving one another and making disciples, people in the church, people in the church. I talked about this in the seminar I gave in June here with the other pastors in the Great Plains Fellowship in the seminar on believing prayer and intercession. It's praying for each other that we would be praying for people in the community by name to come to faith in Jesus, and God would use us and we would learn how to share the gospel with people in a 5-minute conversation. It's people in the church sharing the gospel and people in the church that are not content with paying somebody else to tell somebody else about Jesus. See, that's where a strong missions program should be all about. It's not us paying somebody else to tell somebody about Jesus. We're already doing that, and these people are doing that in other places. That's the call to make disciples. Those three things, love God, love others, and make disciples, only comes about through fervent intercessory prayer in the church. Because all of this is in the spiritual realm. We cannot gin this up by the strength of the flesh. It's all spiritual. It's all driven by Jesus himself. So we have to ask him to make us healthy. We need to pray that we would love him and follow scripture. We need to pray that we would learn how he has loved us so we can love others the same way. We need to pray and ask him to show us how to share the gospel with somebody and lead us into those kinds of opportunities. It all comes through believing prayer and intercession. It has to be the culture of the church. And it's that kind of healthy church, which is a growing church, which is a church that is able to fund their missionaries fully. Doesn't matter how many you've got. We can support them. And we are growing up missionaries from within our congregation because we are a church on his mission, not our own. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for this church and this opportunity to share what it means to be a healthy church and their missions ministry that has been going on here for many years. And Father, we just thank you that you give us your heart and your desire to know what it is to be a healthy church so that we can send out missionaries, so we can fully fund them, so that they can focus on you and the ministry to which you have called them. And Lord, I pray that as this church moves forward, as Adam leads them, that you would help each one to say, "Not we want to be a church on mission. The mission has a church, and we want to be that church that's on the Lord's mission, so the Lord would grow us so that we could have an impact not only in this region, but on the whole world as well, as we send out missionaries, our own children who've grown up in this church to become missionaries all over the world. And we'll give you thanks in advance for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen."